Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to the Food and Psych podcast, where I, Kimberly Wilson, chartered psychologist and curious foodie, take you through the world of food, psychology, and everything in between. Here at the Food and Psych podcast, we believe that food has meaning, that it's much more than just counting the grams of protein in your breakfast. Food has a deep significance on a personal, cultural, and religious level, and that's why I couldn't resist bringing you this bonus episode. As I speak, the UK is in the grip of a heatwave, and we can't cope. In true British fashion, we're complaining about it to anyone who will listen. Trains are being cancelled, whole towns have sold out of fans, and hashtag too hot to sleep is trending on Twitter. So my guest today could not have arrived at a better time. In this episode, I have the pleasure of talking to Gamit Dhillon about Jabil Day. But first, a little about Gamit. As part of the Khalsa Ethics Initiative, he works to promote an appreciation of the ethics of food within the Sikh community and coordinated the largest organic langar feeding over 5,000 people in 2016 as part of the Vaisakhi celebrations hosted by the Mayor of London in City Hall. He took some time out to talk to me about Jabil Day, where members of the Sikh community take to the streets and offer free, cool, sweet drinks to overheated passers-by in commemoration of the martyrdom of their fifth guru. He explains the full significance of this tradition, and we also discuss langar, the Sikh practice of providing free meals to people irrespective of status, colour or creed, and the central role that food plays in the Sikh faith. Okay, so here we are. It's actually rather cool in this air-conditioned room,
but it is
34 degrees outside, and so maybe it's appropriate that we're here to talk about an event coming up this weekend called Jabil. So maybe you can explain a little bit to me and anybody listening about what it represents and what it means.
Okay, so within the Sikh faith, you will see Jabil, and it's normally done around the time of the martyrdom of the fifth guru, the Sikhs.
So the fifth guru, how many gurus are there in Sikhism?
So there were essentially the first 10 gurus, you could say there was a human form, but ultimately there's one divine light. And after the 10th guru, the guruship was essentially passed on to our scriptures. So it's not the body that you essentially worship, or you know, it's the divine word that they brought and the lessons that they taught through the actions and the lives that they lived, because the word is the guru essentially. So the fifth guru were martyred, and in commemoration of that, Jabil is generally held this time of year, you know, in the hot summer days. And
what is Jabil?
So Jabil, generally people will give out drinks. You know, the drink that's generally given out is a sweet drink, which you probably know about. It's like pinkish in colour. And it's a syrup mixed with, say, milk and ice. And that's given out to passers-by outside the Sikh temple, you know, given out completely free to quench their thirst. The Jabil as a tradition, to be fair, you know, I personally haven't come with any historical context or authentic historical context to show that this has existed since, you know, for the last 400 years. Although it's, you know, been linked to, you know, the martyrdom of the guru. You know, Jabil also exists, it's not unique to Sikhism either. You know, it has actually, Jabil's also undertaken by the Islamic faith to commemorate the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad, who perished in the Battle of Karbala. And so, you know, Jabil's are done, you know, in Muharram, which I think is Islamic month, where again the same drink is given out. If you look at the concept in general, though, it's about giving, to relieving someone's, you could say, to a certain extent, suffering, you know, on a hot, thirsty day, you know, giving someone a drink, you know, the idea of service, of, you know, serving people.
Could I get you to explain, though, why these sweet drinks, what it kind of links to? Because you mentioned the martyrdom, but you haven't really described the kind of what happened.
Okay.
And how that links to the giving out of this sweet, cool drink.
When the fifth group, they were tortured essentially, as part of their martyrdom. So they sat on a hot plate and hot sand was poured over their body.
Okay.
And during this time, they accepted the will of God. So, you know, they uttered a hymn or prayer, you could say, which essentially is that the divine will is sweet to me, you know.
Okay.
So, you know, what the divine wills, you know, they accept. So, you know, they didn't, essentially, spiritually, they didn't endure any suffering, but there was a message in their martyrdom, which is, you know, essentially the fight against injustice, against oppression. You know, that was the main purpose of their martyrdom.
Mm-hmm.
So the chibil is essentially, like I said, alleviating, you could say, people's suffering. Is probably a strong word to use, but on a hot, thirsty day, you know, to give people drinks,
discomfort.
You know.
So there's this transformation starting from the original, the martyrdom and the suffering of this man in this extreme heat, this hot clay, the hot sand.
Yeah.
And so now in the chibil tradition is that's transformed into the alleviation of
you could
hot
make,
discomfort.
Yeah, you could make, yeah, you could make, you know, so some people might say this tenuous, but that's where you could have some sort of reconciliation, I would say, between the two. The martyrdom itself obviously has much greater significance because, like I said, it was the fight against oppression, you know. So that was a fight against the unrighteousness that was prevailing at the time, but also to show, you know, the message. And it's an inspiration for the Sikhs to take from that martyrdom, you know, how they could endure that level of suffering for the sake of the righteous fight, the right cause. So that's, you know, more important to take away from martyrdom than simply just, you know,
so
alleviate.
It's not about...
Yeah, exactly. And I think some people, they should not detract, you know, or just associate, you know, martyrdom with just a chibil, you know, because if you think about the Institute of Langar, the free kitchen in the Sikh tradition, it's chibil every day because you can go to a Sikh place of worship and you can receive a cold drink, a hot drink, a free meal every single day. Alleviating hunger and thirst is there all the time.
So just for the benefit of people listening who won't be familiar with langar, what is langar? What does it mean?
So the Institute of Langar is central to the Sikh faith. If you look at the backdrop of Indian society at the time, you know, in the Middle Ages, Indian society was divided very much upon, you know, the basis of caste.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it was your social status, you know, in terms of the work you did. But what had become ingrained in Indian society was this sense of higher and lower.
Mm-hmm.
So if you was a weaver or a leather worker, you was a low caste, essentially a lower person, inferior person than someone who was born into the priestly class or the warrior class or the ruling classes.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you actually found is that people wouldn't actually eat together. Depending on their caste, they wouldn't eat food prepared. A lower or higher caste person would not eat food prepared by a lower caste person, or even eat together. You know.
Okay, so I mean, and that's really interesting in terms of kind of from the podcast. This is quite an important thing that social
divided,
state.
Yeah, food divided people. Mm. You know, so the consumption of food, the preparation of food, actually was, you know, a cause of division. This was, again, was part of the fight, the righteous fight. You know, what we call the Dharm Yudh, that the gurus, you know, did right from the beginning, was to essentially give a slap in the face to these kind of prevailing societal norms.
So they were trying to confront and resist against these ideas of inequality and caste system.
Yeah, which was clearly dividing society and was, you know, creating a sense of, you know, inferior and superior. So the concept of langar is that everybody, you know, the pangat, so the congregation that sits and eats together, they all sit and eat together on the floor in a line. So no one sits high, no one sits low, and they sit together. A king could be sitting next to a beggar, you know. So that concept was very unique and, you know, against the backdrop of how Indian society acted at the time.
Mm.
And that would have been quite, and even the preparation, because again, the person preparing your food could be someone a lower caste or a higher caste than these. But caste isn't based on your birth. But this is how it was. You know, your caste was essentially, you know, you're born into a caste and that's it. Caste should be based on your actions. That should decide whether you are of a higher moral mm-hmm. standing or a lower moral standing. You know, not whose house you take birth into. Mm-hmm. We're all born the same way. There's one instance where the third guru was visited by the Mughal emperor of the time, Akbar, who's a very known Mughal emperor. And he came to visit the guru. And, you know, the Sikh faith wasn't particularly large at that time, you know, and he had heard about them and he wanted to come and visit them. And when he came to visit them, and obviously I'm sure he had heard of all entourage, before he was given permission to meet the guru, he was told to partake in the langar.
And the langar is the name of the meal, or is it the kitchen? What does langar actually translate to?
Translation? I'd have to verify the translation. Okay, but the concept of langar is that, yeah, is the free kitchen.
The free kitchen.
Is the giving, the preparation given out of free food to anyone who, regardless of your caste, your colour, your creed, your religion, your orientation, your disability, you are welcome to come and eat with everybody else as equals.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the thing. There is, in the guru's house, there is no higher or lower. You are judged on your actions.
Yeah. And that, I think that's a very powerful message. And I've spoken on other episodes and upcoming episodes about how much caste is pervasive in so many areas of the world.
Mm.
And it feels at least like a very courageous thing, like very moral, but quite a courageous thing for a person to stand up and say, you know, out of the context that he was born in, this is wrong.
Mm.
And we disagree with this. Mm. And actually, we want to treat people as equals. And that we do that. One of the biggest ways that we symbolize and demonstrate that is by eating together.
Mm.
And this, the kind of format that we're having today is called Breaking Bread. Mm. And it's about kind of people coming together mm. and sharing, whether that's sharing stories, sharing food, sharing an understanding and experience. Because there is, I think, something within each of us with which we can connect.
I'll give you another example. So in the way Sikhs are baptized today, so when you are baptized, you know, to use the English word, you are also encouraged to eat together, eat out of the same plate. So imagine, you know, a king, you know, taking baptism on the same day as a beggar, they become one. In the guru's house, they become one. They become, you know, of the same. And they are encouraged to eat together, eat together out of the same plate. So again, that's something which is quite, you know, difficult to accept if you believe in a very kind of strata, you know, concept of, you know, where people stand, you know, in a very kind of rigid social structure.
Mm. The one thing about food is, compared to anything, it's the one thing that we all have to eat. We all have to eat every day.
Yes, yeah.
So it doesn't matter where you're from, what country you're from, which language you speak. There is already in that a shared experience.
Yeah.
We know what it feels like to feel hunger.
Yeah.
We know what it feels like to eat. And, you know, thinking about, you know, even just in this short conversation, so Chibil and the tradition of langar, that it sounds like food, the preparation of food, is something quite important in Sikh culture.
Even the preparation. So even when a langar is made, people are encouraged, or they, you know, they're expected.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
To recite hymns or a mantra, or mantras, you would probably use in English, but, you know, during the preparation. So what's important for a Sikh, especially a practicing Sikh, is how food is prepared. So food preparation is very important. Even in your home, you should treat as langar with the same respect, with the same sense of purpose. So preparing langar, you know, your mind should be focused on, you could say, on prayer. You could recite a mantra while you prepare your food. So these kinds of things are important as well in food preparation. Also, when you eat your food, so when you are baptized as a Sikh, you are also instructed that when you partake in your food, that you should at that time focus your mind on the divine. You should, you know, you are given essentially two mantras to recite. You know, so food isn't just, it's not an inanimate entity, you could say. It has much more purpose than that. In Indian culture generally, the foods are categorized into three different areas, you know, in terms of their properties. So Dharmsik, Radsik, and Satsik, I think, all, and so they're kind of the characteristics of food.
Can you describe what
I can't describe them right now, but there are categories, and again, you know, in terms of their effects on the body. Clearly, you know, food has a very distinct purpose and objective, and it's not seen as something which you just do for the sake of. You know, who prepares your food? In my personal case, I stopped eating out about 3 years ago. So I don't only eat at restaurants because I don't know who's preparing my food. I don't know what hygiene is prepared with, you know, what kind of, for want of a better word, energy, you know, the thought process of the person who's preparing my food, you know, all these kinds of things. So, you know, so
because the food becomes imbued with those qualities, or?
If we can say that, you know, it's important to recite the divine word while preparing food, then clearly that implies there is an effect on the food, that you infuse the food with a sense of spirituality or divinity, you know, however you want to describe it. So these things are important to consider when you think about your eating habits as well. You know, we can go on top of that, we also go into the area of ethics of food.
Mm-hmm.
So langar is there to feed, you know, and is always there available to feed those in need.
And that's every day.
It should be available every day, like at the Golden Temple in Amritsar. You know, approximately 100,000 people get fed a day. You know, it's completely free, it's run by donations, never runs out, as far as I know. on a typical day, 100,000 people are fed.
That's incredible. You
know? So, you know, again, nobody should be turned away. And so this institute is, you know, is central to, you know, the Sikh faith. And it also gives opportunity to people to serve, because the food has to be prepared, and cleaning up after people. So, you know, washing the dishes afterwards, these kinds of things again. So it also gives opportunity to people to come into service, you know, the opportunity to serve, you know, because these are kind of menial things you could say to do, but it gives people that opportunity.
Seems what you're describing is that on both sides, so from the position of the person who is serving, just the process of serving a meal to someone is an opportunity to develop humility and empathy and understanding of somebody else's position. Yeah. You know, you're put in front of someone.
They never get that exposure otherwise.
Exactly.
You know, you could live in your nice bubble, in your semi-detached house, you know, with two cars in the driveway, this kind of thing. And you may never see the plight of people elsewhere.
And,
you know?
And
it's not to be a do-gooder, but it's genuine to understand that and to appreciate
humanity.
Yes, that you have a right to serve those which are, say, less fortunate than yourself. Living your faith isn't a matter of just, you know, doing your prayers at certain times of the day or going to your place of worship or giving the odd donation. You know, they are just small parts of your day. What do you do for the other 22 hours of your day? You are doing things. You have thoughts. You are, you know, going about your day, you know, various actions. So there are so many choices. And all these are actions which are being, you know, essentially recorded in your life. You know, are you implementing the teachings of your faith in your life? So if we stick with food.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that we try to do within the COS ethics framework, you know, the team of volunteers that you know, that tried to raise awareness within the Sikh community, you know, quite a lot about food, as well as other things, is, you know, langar and food, you know, some of the essence about what it represents and the ethics of it has been lost to some degree, because now, you know, we live in a world where there's, you know, GMO and, you know, sorts of other things which are, you know, we feel, you know, harming the food supply, you know, food sovereignty is being taken away, you know, from people in developing countries while big corporates and other things, you know, kind of have their way with their monopolization of the kind of food supply. So, you know, and also the ethics of food insofar as where is your food coming from? You know, how, you know, we live in a very convenient world, you know, where you go to your supermarket and everything's there. But you've not thought about the carbon footprint of your food. You've not thought about where it's come from, how much the farmer's been paid, you know, what environmental damages that the preparation, you know, the production, you know, the growing of that food has caused.
So you're talking about a need to have a thoughtfulness to the entire process.
Exactly, from the even the growing of the food. So not just, you know, so we talked about the preparation of food, the idea that we give free food. But let's take this all the way back to just food even existing and, you know, the growing of food. So another thing that should be central from a Sikh perspective is where your food actually comes from. The foundation of the Sikh faith is on compassion, which we call Daya. This idea of following the righteous path in all aspects of life, that is born of there, of compassion. Compassion is the most, you know, underlying foundation that we have. And so if you think about compassion in your life, you know, and how it incorporates in all the decisions you make. Now, think about my choice as a consumer, because I'm a consumer. You know, there's loads of things I consume. You know, we all consume. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a large part of what we do. But if I'm buying clothes which are made in a sweatshop by, you know, a five-year-old working, you know, 23 hours a day on, like, you know, half a penny an hour, where are the ethics of what I'm buying as a consumer? Really, where is the compassion in my choices?
Considering your impact, the impact of your choices
is sustaining
in the entire kind of timeline, entire process of whatever it is that you're consuming, whether it's clothes or food.
Exactly. So we can't, if you know these things, you can't live in ignorance. So you have to then think about hard choices. You know, does compassion really matter? Do I implement? I read about compassion. You know, I read my scriptures. I read about compassion. But do I implement that in my life? Because actions are where your understanding and your real test will come in what you implement in your life. So did you just read it or did you implement it?
Did you walk and talk?
Yeah, exactly. So this is the thing. And so if we think about food and we think about, you know, how, you know, the industrialization of food, especially in the last 50 to 100 years, it's taken away a lot of the ethics in food, you know, monoculture. Four crops dominate world food these days, don't they, essentially? So these kinds of things are important to think about and the effect they have on the environment, because it's here. This is the world we live in. Does it not matter to us? If we think about our health, our well-being, does the environment we live in not factor in that?
You've been, I'm going to check the pronunciation. So you've been saying sick and I've been saying Sikh. And so...
Yeah, it's if a pronunciation... traditionally will be Sikh.
Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, but, you know, an anglicised term normally is, you know, we say Sikh. I say it sometimes too, but, you know, Sikh is, you know, so you call yourself a Sikh. It's how you, you know, pronounce it in, you know, in Gurmukhi, you know, in the language. So.
But the other thing was thinking about, so I wondered whether, because you spoke earlier on about the divine being present in all of us, is the divine also present in the environment, is it present
everywhere? Where does the creator? This is his creation. His, I use the term his, sure, because obviously sometimes it's used, but not saying, you know, it's masculine necessarily. But it's his creation. In the beginning, there was just the creator, and this everything that exists is his creation. So he pervades everything. He exists. Where does he not exist?
Talking to you, I'm getting the sense of how, for you, food is so much more. It's not an isolated individual endeavor. It's not me feeding myself and then not thinking about it any further than that. That in everything that you've spoken about, you've also mentioned other people, whether it's the person you're feeding, whether it's the wider Sikh community. And I guess that makes me think, coming back to Jabil, about the value then of sharing, of understanding that equality, that community that sense of oneness with each other. And that it's interesting that it's important to share that with non-Sikhs as well as, you know, within the Sikh community. Is it important to get that message out to everyone? What am I trying to say? Why do you feed strangers?
Who technically is a stranger? This is the thing, because I think because we have this sense of them and us, you know, and that, I think that's what creates, you know, part of what creates this sense of divide in society, in, you know, in faiths, you know, it's them and us. If someone's hungry and they want a meal and they want to come to the Gurdwara and they want to have a meal, why should you be, how is that any different from your own kin? Why are they not your own kin, you know, standing in front of you wanting a meal? You know, because the langar isn't yours. The langar isn't yours. The langar is the guru's. You know, the langar is the guru's, and you are a servant to help prepare and give out the langar to whoever needs it. Because the langar isn't yours to own. You know, is it for you to discriminate who deserves that langar or who doesn't? Because it isn't yours.
That's really beautiful. What you've given is a really very generous overview of not just, you know, and I think Jabil is maybe the gateway into this broader discussion about the symbolism and meaning of food within the Sikh faith and how food is a means within which we can connect with one another and understand the shared humanity that we all have, this sense of equality.
Well, food does bring people together. You know, neighbours eat together. You know, if we think in a general sense, people, it's the way people socialise, don't they? They, you know, with food, you know, you see now, you know, the Islamic faith, they have Ramadan now, and, you know, they break their fast together, families, you know, together. So that's important. And again, we have the congregation at the Sikh temple where anybody can sit next to anyone, you know, to partake in the food. You know, it's not like you're given a, you can come twice a day, five times a day, you can come as many times as you want. It's not like you have to book an appointment, you know.
And just on a kind of practical level, do you just turn up at a Gurdwara and just
as long as prepared, you're free to partake in, you know. There are some very basic, you know, things to follow. Just, you know, have your head covered, you know, take your shoes off. But there's no, you don't have to prescribe to anything. No one's going to ask you to, you know, sign any document
or make any pledges.
Yeah, or make any pledge. You're not obliged to make any donation or anything like that. As long as you, you know, just observe the basic customs of how the langar operation works in a Gurdwara, you know, there's nothing stopping you.
And that's it. So now, if you're out and about over the coming weeks and you see members of the Sikh community offering you a cup of cool refreshment, feel free to take it, thank them, and appreciate the deep significance of this simple gesture. That just leaves me to thank Gamit for taking the time to talk to me. I also need to thank Jasveer Singh at Sikh PA for all his incredible help with my initial inquiry. Jasveer was so generous with his time and I really, really appreciate it. Thanks also to the wondrous Sarah Hashem for putting this together at the very last minute. She is amazing. And thank you all for listening. Until next time, I wish you the very best of health.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive? And your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. Their meditations range to fit your needs each day, from anxiety and stress, relaxation and focus, to building habits and taking care of your physical well-being. They even have expert-led talks on topics such as tips for overcoming stress and anxiety, handling grief, improving self-esteem, caring for relationships, and more. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.